Let's read together Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 36. In this first half of the chapter, we have the institution of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with the unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared for you. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread." Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.' And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.' So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. In Exodus chapter 11, we had the 10th and final plague on Egypt announced. Here in Exodus chapter 12, we have the final plague carried out, the death of the firstborn, verses 29 and 30 once again. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. As a result, Pharaoh finally let the children of Israel leave Egypt. In fact, we see in verse 33 that the Egyptians urged the children of Israel to leave Egypt. They were afraid that there would be another plague, and all the Egyptians would be struck down. And so the children of Israel left Egypt, and they left with more than the clothes on their backs. God had the Egyptians show favor to the children of Israel and give them silver and gold and clothing, as we see in verses 35 and 36. The children of Israel were protected from the 10th plague because they followed God's instructions of applying the blood of a slain lamb to the doors of their homes. This lamb was called the Passover lamb for obvious reasons. When the Lord saw the blood, he passed over. Not passed by, but passed over. And the judgment of death was averted. The Passover and the resulting deliverance from Egypt was to be remembered each year with the celebration of the Passover feast. In fact, we see in verse 2 that from now on in Israel, the month in which the Passover feast was celebrated would become the first month of the year in Israel's sacred calendar. And this, of course, continues to this day. Passover comes in our March or April of each year and is in the beginning month of the Hebrew religious calendar, which is called Nisan. It is the seventh month in the Jewish civil calendar, but the first month in the religious calendar. In verses 15 through 20, we have the institution of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This feast began on the evening of Passover and lasted for 7 days. During this feast, all leaven, which was symbolic of corruption and evil, was swept from all houses in Israel. Here we have a spiritual picture or type of the life of separation from evil that believers now under the blood of Christ should live in glory to God. And that brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Exodus chapter 12. So doctrinal point number one, the Passover lamb is a spiritual picture of God's lamb of sacrifice. The Passover lamb is a spiritual picture of God's lamb of sacrifice. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist proclaimed our Lord to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, we read that Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. So the Passover lamb is a spiritual picture of our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. As the Passover lamb had to be an unblemished male and had to be proven flawless over a period of time, so our Lord Jesus was born without a sinful nature and was proven to be sinless over the period of his lifetime. As the Passover lamb was slain at twilight, or late afternoon, so our Lord died in the afternoon of Passover. And as the blood of the Passover lamb, when applied to each home, protected it from death, so the blood of Christ, the true Passover lamb, when applied by faith, protects the believer from eternal death, the penalty of sin. As Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. The Passover lamb is a spiritual picture of God's lamb of sacrifice. Doctrine point number two. The Passover feast is a spiritual picture of God's plan of salvation. The Passover feast is a spiritual picture of God's plan of salvation. The Passover feast commemorated and celebrated Israel's redemption from their bondage and slavery in Egypt. What a picture of our salvation. Egypt is a picture of the world with its bondage and slavery. Before salvation, we were slaves to sin and to Satan and of this world. But we've been redeemed. While we still are sinners and still in this world, we are no longer under bondage to sin, and we are no longer of this world. As the applied blood of the Passover lamb was the basis for the redemption of the children of Israel from Egypt, so the shed blood of Christ is the basis of our redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. God said to the children of Israel in verse 13 of Exodus 12, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when I see your good works or see your good intentions, but when I see the blood." What a picture of salvation. Let me ask you this morning, have you applied the blood of Christ to your life? That is, have you recognized that you are a sinner and your salvation is only because Jesus shed his blood and died for your sins? Have you received Christ in this way? You are not a Christian until you apply the blood of Christ by faith. As the Passover was a new beginning for the children of Israel, as we see in verse 2, so becoming a Christian is a new beginning for the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Passover feast is a spiritual picture of God's plan of salvation. What about practical application from this first half of Exodus chapter 12? Don't carry types too far. Don't carry types too far. The Passover clearly is a type. That is, it is an Old Testament spiritual picture of New Testament truth. It pictures the truth of salvation through Christ, as we've seen. Now, you can always carry types too far. For example, in the Passover, we read that if the blood of the Passover lamb was not applied to the door of the house, the firstborn of the home died, including the firstborn of the animals. Verse 29 and Exodus chapter 11, verse 5. Presumably, if the blood of the Passover lamb was applied, not only the firstborn person of the household was protected, but the firstborn animals as well. Now, in application of this wonderful type, this in no way indicates that there is salvation for animals. Everybody follow? Types do not determine doctrine. They illustrate doctrine. Doctrine is determined from your didactic or teaching passages of Scripture. Some Christians have made the mistake of carrying types too far and reading in doctrine that is not supported by the rest of Scripture. This is just one illustration of many examples that could be given here. So don't carry types too far.